Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring a discussion on government's initiatives for a prosperous agriculture sector. The participants are Lakshmi Devi, senior journalist, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
It's a pleasure to have you with us, Lakshmi. A warm welcome.
Good evening, Rajesh.
Lakshmi, how do you see the 2025 budget aligning with India's long-term vision for agricultural growth and rural prosperity?
It's quite promising and it's pro-farmers, as the allocation, which stands at 2.7% of the total union budget. If you look at the allocation, it is 1,37,000 crore budget allocation, which is not a less, but it could have been more. But the kind of focus and the rejig has been done in certain schemes looks that the government has set the priorities right, focusing on certain key gaps which it has identified, for example, ensuring high-yielding varieties, climate-resilient varieties, so that the future challenges of climate change can be addressed. And also the pulses has been the key concern area where a special mission has been launched so that we can achieve self-sufficiency in pulses, especially tuwar, urad, and masoor. And also the short-term loans under Kisan credit cards has been enhanced. And also to encourage the nutritious foods, the promotion and marketing, especially the Makhana board has been set up so that such boards can help in promoting the cultivation and processing of Makhana, that is fox nets in Bihar. And also the cotton tech mission and also the focus on vegetables and fruits. There have been separate missions, 4 or 5 missions have been allocated separately with a special emphasis on boosting the production and productivity. So this is a good approach, and also there has been wide rejig and allocation. For example, RKBY, Rashtriya Krishi Vigyan Yojana, in the previous budget, the allocation was 6,000 and this time it is 8,500. Similarly, for natural farming mission, earlier in the last year, the allocation was 100 crore. This time it is 616 crore. And in fact, under Krishi Unnati Yojana, the allocation has been increased. So similarly, in many of the schemes, the focus has been shifted so that to achieve the desired goals. And the best part is not only agriculture, as far as food processing is concerned, to reduce the wastage, to encourage the processing, the budget allocation has been enhanced significantly. I think this is a very great budget, and problem is the implementation. If the implementation of these schemes is done to the T, definitely the results will be towards the goal of achieving Viksit Bharat.
So you very nicely elaborated on the key reforms or new initiatives introduced in this year's budget that could significantly impact farmers and rural communities. Lakshmi, in what ways does the budget encourage private sector participation in agriculture and rural development?
If you look at some of the schemes, like for example, food processing, it is a sector where it gives a lot of support for private participation. For example, in MSME Pradhan Mantri program on encouraging food processing, the allocation has been increased from 1,200 to 2,000. And in fact, Agri-Infrastructure Fund, which is implemented by Agriculture Ministry, the allocation has been increased from 750 to 900 crore. In this programs, the private sector participation is there. Whatever the proposals they get, the central support is there for such proposals. It could be for setting up warehousing, post-harvest management, and any processing units. So offer all these small projects, the private funding, you know, they can have their own share, and also the central is contributing in coming up with these projects. There are many schemes where private sector participation is crucial.
Okay. So how does the budget address the challenges of low agricultural productivity and climate resilience?
So that's been the focus of this year's budget. That's why a mission where 100 low crop yield districts have been identified, and that's a very great initiative. So under this, the production productivity issues will be addressed. Just like the other schemes, we have aspirational districts, the scheme similar to that, the success that we have achieved to that level, the same thing will be replicated in this 100 districts. And this is a very good approach. And I hope this will succeed. And this will also help in improving the farmers' income in those regions where they've been suffering from low yield and low income for decades.
Okay. So, Lakshmi, how do you see the financial inclusion programs? How can they be strengthened to ensure last mile connectivity for rural entrepreneurs?
In this, there is self-help groups. There is a program to encourage self-help groups, even Lakhpati Didi program and Namo Drone Didi. These are the schemes which are instrumental and which will play a role in bringing the financial inclusiveness, create job opportunities, and also the Kisan Credit Card, the loan enhanced, that also help farmers take loan and establish. The government is focusing on whatever is being done. If we do it properly, I think we will doing great service.
Let's hear what our Prime Minister has to say on agriculture and rural prosperity.
आज भारत का कृषि उत्पादन रिकॉर्ड स्तर पर है 10-11 साल पहले जो कृषि उत्पादन 265 मिलियन टन के करीब था वो अब बढ़कर 330 मिलियन टन से ज्यादा हो गया है बागवानी में जुड़ा उत्पादन बढ़कर 350 मिलियन टन से ज्यादा हो गया है ये हमारी सरकार के बीज से बाजार तक की अप्रोच का परिणाम है
Lakshmi, how do you see the role of FPOs, farmer producer organizations, and cooperatives in creating a more farmer-friendly supply chain?
FPOs, they bring all the small and marginal landless farmers to enhance their bargaining power and competitiveness in the market. So if an individual farmer goes, he doesn't have that bargaining power. He sells at whatever price quoted. If he goes in collective, he has better bargaining power. That's the whole idea behind encouraging setting up farmer producers organization. And similarly, the cooperative's philosophy is not making profit. It is ensuring each member of the cooperative makes benefit. Each one of the member of the cooperatives grows in organic manner. So these are the structures. It's like FPOs are producer companies and similarly the cooperative societies. So they provide the economy of scale, market linkages, technical support and value addition and processing. So all these segments help in which otherwise is difficult for any individual farmers to do. Okay. So that's why these FPOs are being focused. Yes, there are challenges in FPOs, but it's there in every scheme.
Okay. So what about digital agriculture? The government has emphasized quite a bit on this. How do you see agri-tech startups and innovations playing a role in rural transformation?
The digital agriculture is something, a new thing which is picking up and the government is focusing on, like, for example, using sensors, drones, or artificial intelligence and big data. And which all, see, we need to adapt to the new technologies to bring efficiency and sustainability of agriculture production. And this approach is transforming the way food is grown, processed and distributed. And in its own way, the government is implementing digital agri-stack is something which the government is focusing where farmers' data is being collected so that they get the benefits of all the schemes in a proper manner. So if you do not have the data properly, farmers are taking enrolled under different scheme. They don't know which scheme is benefiting, which scheme they need to get benefit. So these are the gaps which you can address with the use of technology. Even drones is something how we can efficiently use it for spraying pesticides without the wastage. And also the mechanization, farm mechanization, in which artificial intelligence is being used. These are the new things and these are the future prospects.
Okay.
It is going to play a crucial role in meeting global food demand sustainably.
You mentioned drones. You mentioned how these technology-driven initiatives like drones, IoT and blockchain, how can these initiatives be scaled up to benefit smallholder farmers? And what policies or incentives should be introduced to encourage private sector investment in agricultural R&D?
Already, the government is encouraging use of drones and a Namo Drone Didi, where drones are being, the women farmers have been encouraged to operate drones and create employment opportunities, how they can use this for spraying pesticides and all. This is still picking up. And in some sectors, you know, IoT and all, it's being used, like startups are there. But to scale up, India is a large country. What having different geographical conditions and weather conditions, depending upon each location, how it suits. So everyone is operating on a small scale. Okay. Yes, investments are required. Huge investments are required. But that requirement, who is going to fulfill? If a policy is required, even the bankers are hesitant because to fund such kind of projects. I think going forward, the government will address this kind of gaps that startups are facing.
Okay. Given the increasing climate risks, what budgetary provisions have been made for water management, soil health, and sustainable farming? And how can private-public partnership, PPP, help in accelerating climate adaptation strategies for Indian agriculture?
That's been the focus. That's why the National Mission for High-Yield Seeds that's been announced. There's private sector participation to ensure these seeds reach farmers. So it's focused on high-yield varieties. And ICR has developed some 2,900 varieties in the last one decade and how to take these varieties to the farmers' level at affordable rate. So the research body can't become a seed company and work in distribution, right? So that's why the private sector's role plays an important factor for dissemination of high quality and high yielding seeds and even hybrids. Their role is important. That's why today in the post-budget webinar, Prime Minister stressed and called upon stakeholders to be part of the supply chain of these seeds.
So Lakshmi, what are the biggest challenges in ensuring effective implementation of the budget's provisions for agriculture and rural prosperity? And how can different stakeholders, government agencies, industry representatives, and research institutions collaborate more effectively?
Implementing any schemes, the biggest challenge is most of them are centrally sponsored schemes, or some require the state support. In certain states, the state share is not provided. The center and state coordination is proper, and that's how the schemes are better implemented. In certain areas, the cooperation at local level is not much. The farmers are not. And also the training is an issue, and governance is an issue, and the transparency is an issue. These are the challenges at multiple levels one comes across. But again, India is a large country and it can't be without challenges to implement schemes so smoothly. So there are challenges, but I think today's discussion will help to address those gaps. The day-long discussion on implementation of the budget proposals will help the policymakers to identify those challenges and focus on them for better implementation. And the private sector participation, you mentioned, yes, there is a lot of scope and there's many schemes for private sector participation. And I'm sure there is ease of doing business. That's been the focus. And Prime Minister also stressed asked for a suggestion how they can bring ease of doing business, especially in fishery sector and other sectors of the agriculture and allied.
Lastly, and very briefly, if you could answer, there's going to be a lot of focus on the webinars. What role can structured sub-theme focus webinars play in aligning diverse stakeholders and ensuring knowledge sharing?
The sub-theme webinars, today is the beginning of the overall discussion, how the overall budget was there and all. Sub-theme will be the new schemes that been announced, how that can be implemented in a better way. And also like 4 or 5 schemes, which I mentioned, the National Mission for Pulses, Cotton Technology Mission for Vegetables and Fruits. Likewise, there are a couple of schemes which the government is targeting, and that could be the sub-theme webinars. That will give a focused discussion and the outcomes and the suggestions for better implementation.
On that note, Lakshmi Devi, thank you for being with Akashvani.
Thank you, Rajesh.
You were listening to a discussion on government's initiatives for a prosperous agriculture sector. The participants were Lakshmi Devi, senior journalist, and Rajesh Lake, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on EIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on EIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094045. 4444.
Spotlight.